Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord declared through the prophet Habakkuk, "The righteous will live by faith." This is our text. You may be seated. I wondered if the sermon hymn this morning seemed a little bit jarring in its theme. The last time that we sang that hymn here at Trinity, to my knowledge, was over the weekend of April 21st, way back in 2007. It may be the only time that we have sung that hymn until today. And that weekend probably doesn't stir up any particular recollection of an event in your mind. I had to go back and look it up. But it was on April 16th, 2007, that we experienced a kind of national collective shock at the news of a mass shooting on the campus of Virginia Polytechnic Institute, Virginia Tech. And in the wake of such senseless evil and loss of life that gripped us in that moment as a nation, the president of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod sent an email letter to all of the pastors and commended for our use that particular hymn on that particular weekend. And as we sang it that day, there was no doubt of its connectedness to our times. The opening lyrics so poignant, "When aimless violence takes those we love." No tragedy on quite such a horrific scale is before us today, and yet that event in 2007 is one that seems to have ushered in an era of violence in which we have been gripped ever since. Places with names like Sandy Hook and Fort Hood and Orlando and others have come to be associated with similar tragedies in our national conscience. And not just those, but in city after city, the criminal taking of human life seems to be amplified all over. Last year, the per capita homicide rate in the city of Baltimore, where I grew up, was the highest in its history. In our own Milwaukee, the highest in 10 years. And similarly burdensome statistics reported in places like Nashville, in Cleveland, in Los Angeles, in Minneapolis, in Chicago, in Washington, and the list goes on. Aimless violence is taking those we love at a frightening rate. Those who are known to us, and those to whom we simply extend the love of fellowship as fellow Christians, fellow citizens, fellow human beings. And that perpetual tragedy renders our sermon hymn appropriate for this Sunday as it would be for so many others. And some of these horrible tragedies still garner national attention, stirring up rioting that seems to bring even more violence into those broken communities. And some are like the death of 6-year-old Marcus Johnson, who was killed in a drive-by shooting in St. Louis, and his death passed with hardly a media mention. And it is into that contemporary darkness in which we live now that shines this powerful Word of God, a Word of God recorded in ancient history, 600 BC, kind of ancient. The prophet is Habakkuk. And I invite you, if you wish, to take one of the pew Bibles this morning and open it to page 997. You'll find them at the end of each of the pews. Should be one or two in the middle. Probably need to share with your neighbor. Habakkuk is a prophet about whom we know very little, except that he lived at about the same time as Jeremiah, 7 centuries before our Lord. But more importantly, that he had this extraordinary exchange with Almighty God that has been recorded for our benefit in this short little book in the Old Testament that bears his name. He lived at a time when the people of God were ruled by those who would not follow. Scripture records, particularly in Chronicles, that one king after another did, quote, evil in the sight of the Lord. And Habakkuk looks at the state of Judah and he cries out at the very beginning of our letter. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? The prophet looked around the contemporary setting, the state of Judah in which he lived. And what he saw was violence, aimless evil, where there should have been the worship of God, the very God who had brought the ancestors of these people out of Egypt, delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh, saw them safely across the Red Sea, and planted them in the promised land. But that was long before and largely forgotten. So instead, Habakkuk goes on to cry out. Verse 3, why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. That is a powerful plea before God. A plea that has been carried on the voices of the faithful throughout history. Why, O Lord, do you look upon evil? And in every era, including our own, we are so tempted to add to that question what Habakkuk added on. That is to say, why, O Lord, do you look upon evil and seemingly do nothing? Nearly 3,000 years ago, Habakkuk saw what we see. The law seemingly paralyzed, the wicked surrounding the righteous, justice so often perverted. And all of that caused this man of God to cry out, why? And all that we may see pressing upon our culture could cause us to cry out, why? And one of the great blessings of having this ancient word of God recorded for us as we do is that it gives us the opportunity to hear how God responded to the passionate plea of his servant Habakkuk. And hearing God's response, we are invited to recognize what this means for us in the midst of our own contemporary burdens. As you may notice, if you look in the Pew Bible, that twice Habakkuk pleads before God, and twice the Lord answers. So look, if you will, at verse 5 in chapter 1. It's just beyond our Old Testament reading for today. It's the beginning of God's first answer. And our Lord responds, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. In other words, God will ordain to bring the mortal enemy of Judah to bear down upon those who have turned their back on the only true God. They will be overrun by their enemy according to the will of God. In fact, God will use what appears to be the very force of evil to accomplish a holy purpose. And blessed Habakkuk, he recognizes what God just said. And with terror in his heart, he understands what will happen to his people. And so he pleads with God a second time. Beginning at verse 12, the second half. So if you would turn the page to 998. There at the top of the page, we hear Habakkuk plead, O Lord, you have ordained them. That is the Chaldeans. You have ordained them as a judgment. He goes on in verse 13 to cry out, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? In other words, what Habakkuk is saying is, oh Lord, how can you take these people evil, even more evil than your own, and allow them to be your justice, allow them to run over your beloved people? This time, in chapter 2, the Lord responds again. But his message to Habakkuk is wait, wait. For the vision of God awaits its appointed time. In chapter 2, verse 3, we read, for this vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And then God adds that all-important assurance at the very end of verse 4, which concludes our Old Testament reading for this morning. The Lord declares through Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith. God does indeed have a plan for those who are evil. Holy justice will be brought to bear. But he is declaring to Habakkuk and to all who would hear him, but you who are faithful in God, you shall wait. Cling to the promise of the Almighty. And then God goes on to describe what will happen to the perpetrators of violence. And Habakkuk is satisfied. And so notice, the beginning of chapter 3 is entitled Habakkuk's Prayer. And his prayer concludes at the end of this short little book. If you turn the page at verse 18, this man of God declares, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. What is it that we do? In our day, we too cry out, why? Why, Lord, do you look upon violence and evil and seemingly do nothing? And the Lord responds a first time to us. Those of us who live in the post-ascension era, in the time of the church, our Lord says, behold, I have already done a great work in your midst. And yet so many will not believe it. The Lord already confronted the violence of a broken humanity. Amazingly, by ordaining that such violence would be brought to bear upon his own son, God used what appeared to be an overpowering force of evil, a Roman cross of crucifixion, and by that cross, he accomplished a holy purpose. Never let it be said that the Christian faith does not understand how brutally broken this world is. Because we have seen that brokenness carried on the back, the very back of our Lord Jesus Christ, carried all the way to the cross on our behalf. God did not stand idly by and in the face of violence and evil. For as St. Paul declares, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the sinners. He died for us. And as we sang in our hymn, because your Son knew agony and loss, we know you will be with us, come what may. And yet, so many still will not believe it. Even with that promise fulfilled in Christ, yet we too, if we are honest, we plead with God a second time to say, but Lord, then why do you allow evil to triumph over the righteous if indeed you have already worked out our salvation in Jesus Christ? And our Lord answers us a second time. He says to us what he said to Habakkuk. Wait, watch, and live by faith. For the Lord has promised to return in victory. And on the day of Christ's victorious return, God himself will execute a holy justice upon all the world, upon all who have come before us, all who will come after. And on that day, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. On that day, the vision of God will be finally and eternally fulfilled. Take heart, it will come. Habakkuk had not yet seen the fulfillment of God's promise to him when he wrote that beautiful concluding prayer. We too, we don't yet see the final fulfillment of God's victorious vision for the faithful. But let us trust anew in God's promise so that we, just like the prophet, are bold to pray, we will rejoice in the Lord. We will take joy in the God of our salvation, for God the Lord in Jesus Christ is our strength. May we live then by faith, and while we await that fulfillment, cling with all our strength to that promise of God, which is sure to come. And in that faith, our hymn concludes, through long grief-darkened days, help us, dear Lord, to trust your grace for courage to endure, to rest our souls in your supporting love, and find our hope within your mercy sure. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the peace of Christ, now and always. Amen.